I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 1st, 2025, and we are continuing on with the election hangover today. Quickly, I just want to address this gerrymandering. Absolutely, this was a factor in Pierre Poilievre losing his seat. On the right-hand side of the screen, highlighted is Kanata Carlton, which was an old riding which Jenna Suds won in 2021 with 2021 votes, coincidentally. And then on the left-hand side of the screen is the new riding of Carlton, which Poilievre lost in this election. You can see that they took a very red district and they lumped it together into Carlton. The ballot initiative that had 91 names on the ballot, the fact that the Liberals had been planning this victory and working on it for 2.5 years, and the fact that Trump derangement syndrome affects the people of Ottawa disproportionately more than it affects everybody else in the country, because Donald Trump is seen, whether it's right or not, as an existential threat to the very federal bureaucracy that enables the economic output. Because I've had this actually thrown at me that Ottawa's GDP, its product, its contribution to the finances of Canada outweighs Saskatchewan. And I don't know if that's actually true, because it doesn't matter to me. But they're essentially a consumer city. They consume the wealth of the country, and then they dare call it output. But I digress somewhat. Gerrymandering, the ballot initiative, Liberals putting their time in here, and the Trump derangement syndrome, the collapse of the NDP, all of these factors funneled in to unseating Poilievre. It's actually kind of miraculous that he was able to stay in power that close to Ottawa for 20 years. Right now, many of the bad actors in the so-called mainstream conservative movement here in Canada are gunning for Pierre Poilievre's job. He lost his riding, and the narrative is it was bad leadership. And as I'll show you in a couple articles shortly, the mainstream media is pushing this idea that the CPC became too extreme under Poilievre. Tim Houston is openly signaling his disapproval. Doug Ford is openly signaling his disapproval. Now, I want to remind everybody that Tim Houston is a net zero advocate. He aligns perfectly with Carney. Doug Ford, traitor that man is, met with Mark Carney, shook his hand and embraced him, welcomed him, and cast aspersions all over Poilievre of the entire election campaign. Listen, if this is the mainstream of conservatism in Canada embodied in these people, I don't want anything to do with them. As the chart on the screen shows you, Poilievre grew the conservative base by 7.6%, and it didn't just come from the PPC. A little over half, potentially, came from the PPC. I can't imagine them voting for anybody else. But they got the other half from somewhere else, the NDP, the Bloc, the Green Party. The CPC is at its high water mark. It's never been more popular. And in a typical election year where the NDP wasn't reduced by Jagmeet Singh to the thrall of the Liberal Party, a constant signaler of outrage while he rubber-stamped their entire agenda for the last 4 years. If that wasn't the case, the Conservatives have a government. And I think changing direction, nerfing the CPC, going back to Aaron O'Toole, not building on the progress that was made, but reverting to a former type of conservative movement that only garnered 31 to 33% of the vote, would be a drastic mistake. Listening to Tim Houston and Doug Ford is not the path forward. Now, I know people will say, but Doug Ford won a majority in a very low turnout Ontario election. People weren't motivated. They voted against more than four. And Doug Ford loves Mark Carney. And Tim Houston is for net zero. I couldn't care if they win elections. They're not good for the country. And the fact is, as we move forward through time, people are going to figure this out. Even their voters, even the people who voted for Mark Carney, they're going to learn just what he's all about. They're going to learn about pain. I don't know how people can't listen. He promised pain. He promised emergencies. He promised a fundamentally changed Canada going through tough times. He's not the sun shining. He's the sun setting. And the dark is coming. As to the theme from yesterday of Western separatism and this petition that I shared, look, this is, some people have problems that this was created on change.org. First off, you don't need to donate to sign this petition. Change.org is trying to extract some revenue out of you. They will spend some of it on promoting the petition. But in general, you don't need to donate to this. This is a free thing. You don't need to put money into this. So keep that in mind. Secondly, it's up to 747 signatures since yesterday, which is great. The third thing I want to highlight is that I think people like me, who are blessed with an audience, we just crossed 50,000 between YouTube and Twitter, so congratulations for that. You're really building it. We're building it organically. We are not being helped by the algorithm, let me tell you that. It's good to share our clout with people who don't have any. The guy who founded this doesn't have a lot in terms of social media following. It was just a comment that I read on Twitter. This isn't going to be the only petition. Be prepared to sign several of these. I know there's a lot of people who say that this is useless. Don't sign petitions because it's a waste of time. Look, we're building energy. We're signaling to our politicians the desire of the people. You got to get out there and you got to do it. This won't be the only one. This probably it won't be the official one. There will probably be something like the Alberta Prosperity Project, which is working actively towards this outcome in Alberta, right here in Saskatchewan. Hasn't been created yet. Maybe Saskatchewan grassroots, United Grassroots, can step up and do something, or somebody who has a ground infrastructure already in place in Saskatchewan. And if not, we'll just build it ourselves. I don't care who leads it. I don't necessarily want to be leader. I just want to get involved in good ideas. So be prepared to sign more of these and signal your support, because for this to work this time, for Alberta to extract itself from under the thumb of Eastern elites, we need the support of our elected governments. The Mo government just got elected. Smith is ensconced in the middle, latter part of the middle, of her term. We need their support. We can't be fighting against them because we may need protection from Ottawa. Remember Bill C-63, the censorship bill? You remember the promises for emergencies? Remember the power that Mark Carney wrote about in his book, if you've watched my reviews? I mean, there's never been a better time to start reviewing that book, because the plan is there. Total top-down authoritarian power is coming to a Canada near you once he can figure out how to cobble together his majority. Maybe the NDP does fold. That's a nightmare scenario, but maybe they do. Maybe Carney can give them enough socialism that they just don't see a point existing. I had a conversation yesterday with a man who I deeply respect, who said that it would be very hard for an MP to bear the burden of folding up such an old and hallowed political party here in Canada. And in part, I agree. But Jagmeet Singh had no moral compass. He led the NDP into perdition. He sold them out completely. And these MPs, they went along with them. So I'm not exactly sure there's going to be visionary leadership that comes out to save it. I talked yesterday about the NDP needing a new leader who could take them back to their roots, which is opposing the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party and the Bloc. Back when Jack Layton built his coalition and turned them into, and I say coalition, I mean coalition within the NDP that turned them into the official opposition. They've lost all that. It started with Thomas Mulcair, but it accelerated under Jagmeet Singh, and now they're here. So there is an opportunity for a visionary to do that. But I think it's far more likely that they'll just cooperate. Now, the Bloc is standing there with their hand extended to Mark Carney as well, because, and this is where the Bloc shortcomings are for the rest of Canada, they will look after Quebec first, and they always will. And remember that. There are people online trying to browbeat you and make you fear. I seen a post, actually. I got to pull up a couple things. Don't expect it to be easy. They're going to try and make it hard on you. Psychological warfare is a real thing. And it's not necessarily just driven by actual official state actors. It's also a mindset, and it's deeply entrenched in this country. This is Marty Up North's account. We're just going to scroll down here for a minute to show you an example of the types of intimidation they will try to engage in. And I'm going to give you the foil. This is a post that he shares. Let's add some more tags. It is RCMP Alberta. Why does Marty Up North have registered guns? This man is not mentally well and has intentions to destroy Canada. The man is a ticking time bomb. That is very close to defamatory, but that's up to Marty to decide. Quebec has two parties dedicated to the destruction of Canada that have become entrenched for decades in our political process, with one of them willing to work with Mark Carney, the man who's been sent here to destroy Canada. No problem. These people don't signal any issues with Blanchet and his party or the Parti Québécois in the provincial election, which is still upcoming. They will do this, and the only thing you have to say back is, what about the Bloc? That's it. This idea that the provinces that are autonomous under our federation, they've lost a lot of that autonomy. The idea that we are traitors because we want to reclaim the sovereignty of the provinces that was promised to us under this federation is a misnomer. It's an intimidation tactic. Reject it. This post comes far closer to the reality of something that you should pay attention to. There are millions of people in the East, particularly among the Eastern elites, that feel this way. And that's not to say that there aren't millions who don't feel this way. They're outnumbered. It's the same as somebody recognized in my comments when I'm talking about the generation that's older than 65. There's millions of them who are different from the norm. And when I speak of that generation largely moving liberal because they're still glued to their TV sets, they still call them TV sets. It's a recognition. Not that there aren't millions who think for themselves, but that millions more don't. And that's a problem. Further to that, podcasting and alternative media in Canada is behind in terms of development that in the United States. We are ascending. We are not ascendant yet. And that's why we have to keep working every single day in our own ways to keep getting the message out and keep growing. And you guys are growing it. You guys are making us what we're doing here. When I talk about this, I talk about we. There's really only me. There's no team. I edit myself. I do all the research myself. The hours I put in every single day, that's all me. My wife supports me in terms of taking care of the kids and making the space for me to try and do this. And you guys support it in the various ways that you do. That's the we, because I can't do it alone. But back to the point, I think you're confused. Nothing they did about it, nothing they could do about it. Saskatchewan benefits far more from being part of Canada than by pretending they could go it alone or as some half or as half of some flatland redneck republic. So it's not just the flatland redneck part. You know, having a redneck means you work long days in the sun. I figured this out when I was farming for over a decade of my life. Doing market gardening, which means no tractor. I was out of the tractor. I was in the field getting ate alive by deer flies, mosquitoes, out there in the rain, sweating my nuts off. I could barely see because of the sweat pouring in my eyes, the burning. I'm not kidding. Blood and sweat. Very meaningful life, but I realized a redneck means you're under the sun. It means you're out there outside doing something. But I digress. It's not the flatland redneck part. It's also the aspersion cast at republic, a republic. Republicanism is better. And when I say republicanism, I mean not Republican Party. I mean republics. Wanting to have a constitutional republic free of a king. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with more representation and more citizen power? What is wrong with decentralization? All of these things are goods, but there are millions of people in this country who would rather rub our face in it for wanting better, not just for us, but for them. My advice, let them keep doing this. And while you're at it, keep signing petitions, keep building momentum, keep talking to your neighbors, because we have to stand up now, and we have to do it by letting our governments know that it's time, because we need our provincial governments. We need their protection to build this movement. It's going to be very hard to do it without government cooperation at the provincial level. Now, there is a mechanism in Saskatchewan. Citizen-initiated referendums. Citizens can initiate a referendum by submitting a petition to the chief electoral officer, according to posts found on X. The petition must be signed by at least 15% of the total number of electors in Saskatchewan, which equates to approximately 131,000 signatures. Based on recent estimates, the petition must include a clearly worded question for the referendum. If the petition meets the required threshold and other legal requirements, the CEO forwards it to the legislature. Let's just quickly go through some comments and see if there's anything else. Western independence talk gains as Preston Manning floats the idea. Yeah, I mean, we got to talk about it as a starting platform. We have to demonstrate momentum. We have to demonstrate public interest. And we also have to argue and make the argument of its necessity. Mark Carney's been clear about what he wants to do to us. Let's look at that. This is a post from at JGenXer. You should be able to see it on the screen if I remember to hit record. I just had to check, and I did. I'm just going to read this. It echoes a lot of what I've covered about Mark Carney's book already, and I am going to return to that continuing book review because I only covered about half the book so far. Hopefully, over the coming months, it will get more traction and more attention because they're long videos, and we have a bit of time to review the material. The book is a nightmare scenario for Canada. Stranding our resources, stranding our wealth, and bringing in total technocracy. That's what the book talks about. JGenXer, we're just going to read. Go give him a follow. What is unfolding in Canada is not politics. It is not reform. It is a hostile takeover by global forces using one of the most sophisticated and destructive plans ever devised to collapse a free society from within. The plan is referred to as the Cloward Piven Strategy. Wait till you hear about this. The man they have chosen to complete this agenda is Mark Carney. Mark Carney was not elected. He was selected. His loyalty is not to the Canadian people. It is to the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, and the Bank of International Settlements, among other organizations, and other unelected global institutions that aim to erase national sovereignty and individual freedom. Collectivist responses. It's all through his book, how the world needs to come together more, that the fragmentation's bad, decentralization's bad, more top-down government power is the solution to the problems that they've created. It's all through his book. Cloward Piven Strategy, in definition. The strategy aims to utilize militant anti-poverty groups to facilitate a political crisis by overloading the welfare system via an increase in welfare claims, forcing the creation of a system of guaranteed minimum income and redistributing income through the federal government. In 1966, Columbia University professors Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven developed an 8-point strategy to collapse a free nation from within intentionally. Their idea was to overwhelm the system through massive economic and social destabilization so the citizens would beg for authoritarian control in exchange for survival. The strategy has now been adapted and weaponized by global financial elites and is being applied to Canada right now. Unfortunately, most Liberals and PPC voters are too dense to see it. If you have never heard of Cloward Piven, it does not matter. It is already being implemented for you and all around you if you could just see it. And this is our objective now. This is why we're talking about all these big ideas like separation. It's here. It's ensconced. The election, whether you like Pierre Poilievre or not, I there's a lot of criticism of Pierre. Everybody worked to defeat him. He was different. He is different. He is not wanted by these people. It is so visibly clear that Poilievre is the enemy of these people. And they're going to try and push him out. These people are going to try and push him out. Overload the bankrupt. Mark Carney is the chosen executor. Below are the 8 points of the Cloward Piven strategy, along with concrete actions Carney has taken to implement each one. Again, read his book. Overload and bankrupt the welfare system. In 2020, during the COVID-19 lockdowns, Carney publicly supported massive government stimulus spending, including the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, which gave more than 8 million Canadians free money with no strings attached. The program cost $81 billion. Carney, in a July 2020 speech to the London School of Economics, called these types of stimulus packages essential tools for transition and praised the role of public finance in accelerating the shift to stakeholder capitalism, something he also refers to as social capitalism. Or inclusive capitalism, top-down capitalism. He recognizes the need of private money in the economy, but he sees private money as something to be harnessed by public, so-called public, which means technocratic, power, dictating where you can spend it and what you can invest it in. That is the philosophy of net zero. The Canadian COVID-19 lockdowns were not about public health. They were all about creating permanent dependency. The more individuals rely on government support, the more control the government has. Canada's debt has now reached more than $1.5 trillion. The system is being driven towards bankruptcy by design. It certainly seems that way. And Mark Carney promised to add a quarter trillion to that total in his first 4 years. And once again, that media that I'm always talking about lacking curiosity was once again lacking in curiosity. Nobody even bothered to bat an eyelash at it. The man is promising to bankrupt the nation. If you want to talk about affordability, you want to talk about housing and the rising cost of food, you're not solving any of that by adding to the national debt. It's a problem that must be solved. if you're intent on saving the nation. You people who voted for Mark Carney to save Canada, you're about to find out you actually voted for the Grim Reaper. This is the guy who's here to put the final nails in the coffin, also in an effort to undermine Trump. Two, raise the cost of living until survival becomes the only focus. In February 2021, Carney co-authored a report for the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero. This is the $130 trillion clout fund. Alliance, I should say, not fund, alliance of pensions around the world and other institutions that Carney has put together to harness that $130 trillion of mostly your money and bend it towards the single-minded focus of net zero and this technocratic utopian pipe dream that they're all implementing. It's not utopian. It is technocratic. Where he pushed for removing capital from carbon-based industries and redirecting it into climate-compliant investments. That is entirely what GFANS is all about. The direct outcome of this has been a reduction in oil and gas supply, spiking prices across the board. And once again, in his book, he promises to strand all the resources that are underneath our feet in Saskatchewan and Alberta permanently. That's his promise. In July 2022, Carney's climate agenda began affecting Canadian energy producers when major banks stopped issuing loans to oil and gas firms unless they complied with net zero targets. With fuel prices soaring, Canadians now face historic inflation. Food banks across the country report record demand. In Canada, the cost of groceries has increased from March 2020 to March 2025, approximately 30%. Have your wages kept up? Probably not. Carney knows these policies will crush the middle class. That is the point. When individuals struggle to feed their families and fill their gas tanks, they stop resisting. Recall that Mark Carney's own Prime Minister's office has said that by 2040, Canadians will be subsistence hunting without reference to regulation, which is saying you will be in such destitution that you'll be eating squirrels, that you'll be hunting and poaching all the wildlife in the bush to sustain yourself and your family. That's the future that 43% of Canadians just decided to vote for, largely because they don't know, because the captured media didn't tell them. They didn't deliver the story. Carney has been out front about what his intentions are, writing a book and preaching it on the campaign trail, but the media spins it away. You are left to figure it out on your own, to listen on your own. You do have an opportunity to educate yourself, but it's all left to you. It's like they tell you the truth. They really do. They tell you the truth. But you have to find it on your own because they're more than happy to lie to you on top of that truth that they're willing to tell you. Defund and destabilize law enforcement. On June 8, 2020, just days after the death of George Floyd in the United States, Carney wrote an op-ed in the Globe and Mail endorsing social movements that called for defunding police. I think we talked about this before in our videos. In that article, he promoted the idea that institutions need to be reformed to serve social justice rather than law and order. His exact words were that the economy must become more inclusive and must reflect new social priorities. In Canada, the narrative led to police budget reductions in major cities, including Toronto, Montreal, and Vancouver. This is something that you need to understand about Mark Carney. He's been at work in Canada for a long time. He's not new here. He's been behind the scenes. He's the man behind the curtain. He's just come out in the open now. The result has been a significant rise in violent crime, carjackings, and open drug use. As cities become less safe, public demand increases for technological surveillance, biometric security, and government monitoring. Carney has supported the digital ID infrastructure that will replace traditional policing with algorithmic control. Digital ID that won't be issued by government. Digital ID that will be issued by the central bank, independent of government. It's in his book. It's even worse than your possible than you can possibly understand. And they're out front with it. And meanwhile, the police are hamstrung. They arrest people, and the justice system turns them loose. C-75 is still the law of the land, which is what leads violent criminals to be released the same day. You voted for this. Not you, my viewer. The new people that come in the door. People say, you're preaching to the choir all the time. New people find me every single day. I see them in the comments. I see them in the emails. I'm speaking to you, not as an enemy, but as somebody I hope wakes up and sees the fullness of this. Control education to indoctrinate the next generation. In October 2020, Carney became head of Brookfield ESG Advisory Group, which has since partnered with the United Nations to fund youth education programs across North America. These programs are designed to train children and university students to accept climate compliance, equity mandates, and global governance as normal. In March 2023, the University of Toronto received millions in funding tied to a Brookfield-backed ESG curriculum. These classes redefine economic freedom as dangerous, promote submission to centralized digital control. The youth of Canada are no longer being educated. They are being conditioned. Again, Carney's been here for a long time. He's been moving in the shadows. There are commentators in the podcasting space who are acting surprised, saying that they thought he was a clown, but it turns out he's very sophisticated. If you're worth your weight as a commentator or somebody who does research, you should have known Carney by his fruits long before he was parachuted into the fraudulent Liberal leadership campaign. There's no excuse. 5, eliminate private property through regulation, taxation, and debt traps. Well, we don't have private property in Canada, really. The government can take anything they want from you. Your existence as an owner of anything is privileged. Privileged upon their approval. It's so sad, and yet it's so true. And many Canadians don't even understand that fundamental factor. Carney supports net zero home compliance. In April 2023, the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation proposed mandatory energy audits for homes before sale. This policy was developed in part by the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosure, which Carney chairs. This is on top of the idea that they floated that they were going to tax your principal residence capital gain sale, which they abandoned. But it's worse than that. Now they're talking about home equity taxes. Essentially, it would be a second property tax. If you dare own your house outright, you'd be subject to a federal property tax. How much money is enough for these people? The answer is none. They want it all. These audits will be used to justify carbon taxes on homeowners, making it impossible for many families to sell or afford upgrades. At the same time, interest rate hikes driven by central banks have doubled mortgage payments since early 2022. Carney supports these hikes as necessary to curb inflation. The result is mass foreclosure. This is not mismanagement. This is extraction. If you read his book, central banks are at the peak of the pyramid. They're the solution to all of the world's problems. And all of the problems they've created are whitewashed. This is a window into the mind that now runs Canada. That you elected. Not you, the people who didn't. But the ones who did. You don't know what you've done. But you're going to learn. You're going to have buyer's remorse. Promote division through identity politics. Carney has repeatedly made public statements aligning with social justice narratives. In May 2021, he gave a speech at the Public Policy Forum where he called for economic systems that serve racial justice, climate justice, and gender equity. These are not neutral goals. They are designed to divide individuals and pit them against one another based on race, gender, and ideology. While Canadians fight over perceived slights and identity labels, the real theft is happening quietly. Carney's controllers benefit from chaos. All these Canadians who are draping themselves in the flag talking about sovereignty and refusing to sell out Canada are completely blind and unwilling to understand that you have been gutted and sold out for decades. The real tragedy's already happened. And here you are, reacting, when you're told to react by those who did the selling out. The more fractured society becomes, the easier it is to dominate. 7, undermine faith and family to replace them with state loyalty. In 2019, Carney spoke at the Vatican in support of the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, a group designed to unite global corporations, financial institutions, and the Catholic Church under a single moral economic framework. The message was clear. Loyalty must shift from traditional institutions to a centralized system where moral authority is dictated by economic compliance. They've already come a long way. They got your tax rate so high and they got the cost of living so high that many parents have to work jobs and they send their kids to government daycares where they are raised. Most of the time, most of your kid's childhood is spent with people that are not you, the parent who struggles to pay for everything. Whether it's in the public education system or in daycares, your access to your children is extremely limited by the economic circumstances that you find yourself in. You know, and I've sung the praises of homeschooling and private schooling. Private schooling's out of reach for me. That's wonderful. I've also talked about the importance of maybe considering going into debt to save yourselves, depending on what jurisdiction you live in, how bad the public education system is where you live and how radicalized it is. It might be worth indebting yourself to save your children. But these are difficult choices for many a parent. Meanwhile, the government further and further erodes families, the economic unit that built Western civilization. At the same time, Canadian government programs now incentivize children to bypass parental consent on gender decisions, vaccines, and personal health records. Carney supports these policies. They remove the parent and insert the state. They are lowering, by effect, I mean, and this is the principal thing, they're lowering the age of consent on everything, except, like, it's so bizarre. The bottom line is they're lowering the age of consent, and they're going to keep lowering the age of consent. Carney is one of the most vocal international advocates for central bank digital currencies. In a December 2019 speech at the Bank of International Settlements, Carney said that the future of money will be programmable and trackable and must support sustainable development. Everything in the book re-engineers society around this idea of sustainable development. That doesn't actually mean sustainable anything. It just means a targeted effort against CO2, which will not lead to better outcomes for the world. But it is an incredible way to regulate everything because everything produces CO2. The relationship between oxygen and carbon dioxide, the building blocks of life. If you can convince people that CO2 is the boogeyman, you can regulate everything, and that's exactly what these guys are bringing in. In October 2023, the Bank of Canada began pilot testing a central bank digital currency. Carney is advising that effort. Once implemented, this programmable currency will allow the government to freeze accounts, limit purchases, and control every financial transaction. There will be no cash, no privacy, and no freedom. This is the full Cloward Piven strategy. These are not theories. These are documented facts. Note, Carney's wife, Diana Fox, is the niece to Francis Fox Piven. You can't make this stuff up. Back to Polyev for a minute. Listen. My primary focus is on the provinces. That doesn't mean I can't render an opinion about federal politics and where federal politics should go. It still exists. There is still a federal political process, as rotten as it is, and I can look at it from the perspective of the NDP, I can look at it from the perspective of a Liberal voter, and I can look at it from the perspective of a Conservative Party voter. And indeed, even though it's a rotten apple, I can see that there are pieces of it that are not fully worm-ridden yet, and those pieces might still be worth working on alongside of those more higher priority aspects that I intend to work on with what life I have. This is an article. Party needs to be not so extreme. Time for soul-searching what conservatives are saying after Polyev defeat. This goes on to talk about Houston. It goes on to talk about Ford. It goes on to talk about some of those defeated MPs, but it doesn't talk about the fact that the Conservative Party share of the vote grew massively to a record high under Polyev's leadership. It doesn't talk about the real and concerted and concentrated effort to bring him down from all sides, from the right, from the left, from the middle, from inside government, from outside government, the media landscape, American podcasters, whether willingly or just as an adjunct, Bernier going around. And the thing, that's another thing, just to touch on the PPC a little bit. There are good ideas there, but the PPC packages them in such a way that to make them completely unpalatable to Canada. They're repugnant. They're online calling everybody names, and they're celebrating still. 3 days after the election, they're still claiming they have all the answers. 0.7%, boys. You don't have anything to offer. You didn't grow anything. The fact that you lost so massively, the fact that the American podcaster, I still see people saying that the biggest mistake that Polyev made was he didn't go on American podcasts. He would have got 35% or less if he had went that route. If he had copied the Bernier model and campaigned for Prime Minister of Canada down in the United States, he would have got the same result. It would have cost. It's not to say that those platforms don't have their value, but people seem to be in denial. I don't know how it is that in my mind I can compartmentalize these things. I can view things separately. I can view things outside of my own perspective of what I think is right. There's a Canadian political mindset. If you're going to play politics, you have to cater to that mindset. You have to win with those pieces of the puzzle. Those of us who aren't playing the game don't understand what it's like. Can you imagine being in Polyev's position, being labeled as Trump North and watching it affect your numbers, watching the effect and then having all of these different advisors telling you different things? and having to make that decision, knowing that the hand that you've been dealt is largely a losing hand because conservatives in this left of center country have a very narrow path to victory. And that path is getting narrower to the point where it might be so extreme that it can't be done until Mark Carney reveals himself. That's why I said in yesterday's video, the CPC has upside. The Liberals have hit their high watermark. I don't think it gets better for them from here, because as Carney rolls out the agenda, people are going to wake up. But if he secures the cooperation of the NDP for 4 years, we are up shit creek without a paddle. Pardon my French. Which is why we got to start working on the provinces. I don't know what you're going to do as a citizen of Ontario. I read a post this morning from a longtime friend and supporter, and they said they've put their house on the market and they're moving west. That might be all there is left to do. Otherwise, you're under the yoke. It's time for big changes. It's time for new thinking. It's time to rally the provincial governments of Western Canada. And if you can't do it in Manitoba and you can't do it in BC, either keep trying or get out. But Alberta and Saskatchewan, we have a mission, and we need our provincial governments to support the people who elected them. And the way we do that is with massive public pressure. And you may feel small. You may feel insignificant. There are people who are online who will insult your efforts and trying to demean you, to demoralize you, to make you stop, to make you feel small, to make you feel that way. And some people will say, but Frank, you have the audience. You know, it must be nice to be you. You have influence. You have reach. Doesn't matter how big a person grows. You can be Elon Musk with hundreds of millions of followers, and you still can't reach the majority of people because they're just tuned out. They're just not listening to you, or they just don't see your efforts. Now, every single person that is part of this, what we are doing here, makes this what it is. We are a 50,000 gear machine, and every single one of you is a gear in that machine, making the whole thing turn. It's organic. It's beautiful. And I'd like to keep it that way, because that brings up the last thing, which is just a bit of housekeeping today. People keep bringing up super chats. They keep bringing up monetization. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. People have brought up Patreon and other platforms. Maybe there's something there to look at. People have said there's no way to sign up for monthly. You know, they want a subscription service. You can do it via PayPal. You can sign up for a subscription there. It's completely voluntary. You can do it at any number that you want. You can e-transfer. You can set up automatic e-transfers. I mean, I think e-transfer is the best because it gives you the best deal. But I digress. There's already a couple ways for you to do it. And then there's people who say, it's crazy, but it's just like, I had somebody write this long-winded, it might have been an AI bot, but they wrote this long-winded thing where it's like accused me of just trying to get clicks for ad revenue and all this other stuff. This is another reason I don't want to monetize. Because then stupid accusations like that have a little bit more leg than they do now. They have a bit more foundation. If I'm not selling ads, I'm not shilling products, and I don't have exclusive content, then all of that stuff falls deaf. I don't get paid for views. I don't get paid to shill products. I get paid if you want to pay me. I get a budget if you want to give me one. And that's it. And I'll keep doing this as long as I can do it. I'm promising you nothing. That's the other thing. People talk about grifting. I'm not promising you anything. I'm not promising to deliver enlightenment. I'm not promising to take you into the promised land. I'm not promising future returns on your investment for work. I'm delivering it all up front. And whether it's worth something is on you to decide. That's why I like doing it this way. You get everything for free. And you will continue to. So that accusation can never land. Whether it's worth something to you is up to you to decide. But I don't judge you either way. I do this because I'm passionate. I do this because I care. And yeah, I'd like to do it full time. Reading takes a lot of time. Research takes a lot of time. The conversations that I have. I basically do consulting work. I don't charge anybody for it. I just have conversations. I want to keep it that way. Just makes my life simple. Anyway, I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.